In the name of Jesus,
amen.
Herod couldn't sleep.
Wise men,
sages, some called them,
Zoroastrian magi, perhaps,
stargazing astrologers, certainly, had come from the east, speaking a word that rattled all Jerusalem. Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. Amazing. Perplexing what God chooses to do and who God chooses to use. The lights in the expanse of the heavens, the ones created God knows how many ages ago. Lights spoken into being by the Word who has been born King of the Jews. Lights, Genesis tells us, given to be for signs. For signs, Moses said, for signs and seasons. One of those lights, or a royal combination thereof, served as a sign that a king was born. That the light in the heavens was there is a matter for the science of astronomy. Why the sign in the heavens was there is a matter for Scripture. Perplexing what God chooses to do, use heavenly lights as signs. And just as perplexing, who God chooses to use to see the sign. Astrologers, magi, servants of Eastern regal despots who in the past had oppressed the people of Israel, who were in league with a supernatural power that opposed the one true God. Magi who professionally practiced what the Scriptures have expressly forbidden. Men practiced in calling upon the names of all sorts of spirits, inviting them into their minds so that they could read the future in the stars. They saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. Amazing who God chooses to use. It may be just me, but don't be too bothered that God used and even converted astrologers. The whole pagan Gentile world is compressed into the Magi, you and me included. Amazing who God chooses to use. But to Herod, these Magi were mere troublers of Jerusalem, and the heavenly light was accursed. How dare anyone try and usurp his throne? Herod couldn't stop thinking about it. Back and forth, he paced in the middle of the night, angry that none of his own wise men had seen it. What should he do? Kill the wise men. Crossed his mind, but then he came up with a thought. Ask his own priests and scribes of the people if their scriptures said anything about it. And from them he found out that there was a promise in the scriptures, the promise of a king to be born. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. The rival would be born in Bethlehem. And from there, his plan developed quite easily. Bethlehem's close by, well within his jurisdiction. Send the Magi to Bethlehem, have them search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I may too go and worship him. But the one he would really worship wouldn't be the child. It would be himself. Herod would worship his own evil wants, his own foul desires, his own polluted plans, and he would kill the child dead. So the Magi left, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to the place to rest over the place where the child was. Pagan Magi practiced in the occult of astrology, and had a strange conversion when the Holy Spirit invited himself into their minds and they bowed down and worshiped the one true God. Worshiped. When the people who should have known, the chief priests and scribes advising Herod, never bothered to even look. But the Magi never returned after their pilgrimage to Bethlehem. After giving the King of Kings kingly gifts, being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. So Herod barked his gruesome orders. Employing a scattergun approach, he ordered, "Kill all the male children in Bethlehem and in all the region who were 2 years old or under." We don't always tell the whole story at Christmas. We're indebted to Luke for front-loading the story with kings and governors, taxes and registrations, shepherds and angels and Mary and Joseph. We incorporate all of that quickly into the children's Christmas pageant. And we're indebted to Matthew for the Magi who show up on Herod's doorstep following yonder star with gold and frankincense and myrrh. And the best part of the story, these Eastern sages giving old King Herod the slip. But then we stop. We don't read the next verses because we don't like what happens next. Only those who are deranged do. The story is just too sad. The splendor of the Magi's visit fades, and the terror of Herod raises its hoary head. Joseph is jolted awake by the worst nightmare he could ever have. An angel of the Lord who tells him, "Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." And so, under cover of darkness, the Holy Family up and flees Bethlehem, south and west, out of Herod's jurisdiction, toward the safety of Rome's most recent acquisition, the great land of Egypt. Far away from Bethlehem, the Holy Family didn't hear the horror as Herod's soldiers rushed in. They didn't see the anguish on the faces of unsuspecting parents. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping in loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more. Far away, Joseph trembled all the same, and fearing the long arm of Herod, pressed toward Egypt as quickly as his little family could go. The greater the distance, the safer Joseph felt. Perhaps because they looked so poor, robbers would leave them alone. Perhaps. Or perhaps because a legion of the heavenly host marched along in the clouds above them. Thieves would be most interested in the gold they carried, but they would never guess the real treasure Mary cradled in her arms, the golden treasure of the child and his saving blood that pulsed through his veins. Herod was threatened by the news of the one born King of the Jews. And perhaps that night after the soldiers returned, reporting that not one baby boy was left alive, perhaps Herod lay his sorry head down in as much pieces as his rickety old body could give him, his crown safe once again. Poor Bethlehem. Poor mothers and fathers. I cannot imagine sisters and brothers, nanas and papas. I know that I am supposed to be consoled by the fact that these baby Hebrew boys, bearing the sign of the promise in their circumcisions, as the prayer says, showed forth God's praise not by speaking but by dying. Whatever that means exactly. But still, it's not supposed to be this way. It is amazing, wretched, what sin will allow for. To what depth it will sink is nothing short of God-awful. destroying not only the baby boys of Bethlehem, but our little lives as well. And dare I say, poor Herod, though he didn't know it. What Herod didn't understand was the fact that this newborn king of the Jews had no interest at all in his crown. But there was one who was ready to take not only his crown, but everything that he had ever called his own. Everything except his sins, those would remain his. Those would be his to answer for. Death was coming for Herod, and no Roman garrison could protect him from that. The grim reaper, death personified, was marching on Jerusalem, and uninvited would pay a call on Herod. And so it was that soon after the horrors of Bethlehem, death took Herod into its arms and trotted him off, tail between his legs, to the judgment seat of God. Herod wanted nothing to do with the coming king, and that would be the greatest mistake of his miserable little life. The coming king wasn't interested in toppling him from his petty little throne in Jerusalem that had to answer to Rome for everything. Herod was a much bigger man in his own eyes than he was in anybody else's eyes. The coming king was only interested in defeating and destroying the real enemies that bound Herod and would one day track him down and wipe him out. The baby boy was born to do battle with the grim reaper and destroy the destroyer's power. The child had come to destroy the power of hatred, the indifference toward suffering, the dominance of self-centeredness, and whatever other name we can give to the sorry state of this humanity. All other gods are devils. All other ways are pits. All other truths are lies. The child has come to vanquish all that has promised you life and in the end delivers only death. The child has come to save us from our illusions of grandeur and bring us to our knees in repentance that he might lift us up and gather us to the brightness of his rising. The child has come to save us from the lie that the little kingdoms that we've etched out for ourselves in this world will forever provide for all of our needs and wants of body and life. The child has come to save us from ourselves. But most of all, the child has come to destroy sin's power and to accuse anyone who will but trust in him. Herod would never trust this child. And so Herod died in his delusions and had to face the child who was not only cuddled up in Mary's trembling arms, but was also sitting as judge at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, face the Lord of Lords, unprepared, without excuse, and having no defense at all. Meanwhile, back in Egypt, Joseph watched in safety as the child worked hard at playing. Watched him as he took his first scary, tentative steps. Listened to him as the Word made flesh learned to talk. I wonder what Joseph thought back in Nazareth when the angel had first told him he will be called Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. I wonder if what the angel had told Joseph became that thought that he just couldn't get out of his mind. I know my child is special, but how is he going to save people from their sins? And then one day a cry went up in Egypt. Herod is dead. But Joseph already knew. An angel of the Lord had appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Rise, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Egypt, for those who sought the child's life are dead." And they began their journey back toward Bethlehem. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in the place of his father Herod, Joseph was afraid to go there. And being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in a city called Nazareth, so that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled, that he would be called a Nazarene. In Nazareth, did Joseph ever think, as he worked side by side with Jesus, did he ever figure out how this child would become a king? Did Joseph the carpenter ever figure out that the child's greatest work would also be done with wood? And nailed to it, he would defeat the real enemies, not just of Herod, but the enemies of all of us. Did he ever catch a glimpse of the fact that hanging dead on a cross, Jesus would reign as king forever and topple the power of sin to accuse you and the inevitability of death to destroy you forever? If Herod never figured any of that out, it doesn't matter. He may not have figured out the how, but that his little charge was born to be the Savior that he knew and that he believed. And unlike Herod, when Joseph died, he died trusting Jesus for his salvation. Death took Joseph's life, but Jesus took Joseph's sins. And because of that, Joseph lives no more to die. And the same holds true for you. We are privileged to know the how and the why. This child is the epiphany of everything God is, everything God has, every gift God desires to lavish upon you. He's the Alpha of love, the Omega of grace. He is every combination of all the letters in the alphabet that spells out the Father's will to save you. Unlike old Herod, however, we know that this child is no threat to anything but the power of sin and darkness and death. So sin and darkness and death and the devil and hatred and fear had all better watch out when the King of Kings draws near. And draw near he does today, here and here and here. So arise, shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Darkness shrouds the earth. Midnight's shade veils the people of this world, but not you. Not you. Arise. Shine as if you swallowed the sun, and every pore of your body is a window of fire, for your light has been born to rescue you. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please rise.